Works and Sewer Commission meeting to order. Our first item on the agenda is public forum. Seeing none, we'll take an action on the minutes. Were you guys able to review? Are there any amendments?
I make a motion to accept the minutes from the April 20th, 2026 Water and Sewer Commission meeting.
Motion by Kathy, do we have a
second?
Thank you, Paige. All in favor of accepting the minutes from the April 20th meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, reports. Mr. Pittman.
Yes, ma'am. We've got a financial report for the month of April. April is 10 months of the way through our fiscal year, just 2 months to go. So our benchmark for our budget to actuals is 83%. And relative to that benchmark in the water fund, revenues are tracking under still at 75%. Expenses right on target at 83%. In the sewer fund, revenues are trending over at 87%, with expenses under at 81%. Our charts show our capital outlay. So the top one there is our water capital outlay. Year to date, it's just over $5 million, or 47% of our budgeted capital outlay. In the sewer fund, year to date, we're at $20.9 million, or 44%. Moving on to build revenue and consumption, the numbers look a bit inflated this month, and for good reason. We did pass through to the city of Bentonville about 106 million gallons of water. Billed at the wholesale rate, that bill was $192,000, so that's affecting both the billed revenue for the current month as well as the consumption for the current month. You can see those are up 32% and 57% respectively. Just looking at billed revenue associated with residential, commercial, and industrial consumption, though, you can see that's a little more reasonable at 12% year over year. In the sewer fund, the billed revenue in total is up 25%, close to that for the residential, commercial, and industrial consumption, up 23%, with actual sewer consumption itself up 8.1%. So, again, these are our major revenue streams. Billed water consumption year to date is at $15.3 million. You can see that's trending under where we projected to be this point in the fiscal year by about $360,000. I think that gap did close a little bit from last month to this month, but still under. And for sewer billed consumption, we're tracking ahead. $17.2 million. We're over budget by about $760,000 on the sewer side. Another key revenue stream, access and impact fees. We collected $382,000 this month, so definitely a solid month of collections. We're now at $1.7 million between the water and sewer fund year to date, with our year to date actuals 53% of last year's total and 35% of the FY26 budget. In terms of year-to-date income, during the month of April, water income increased by $500,000, sewer by $1 million. So in the water fund now, year-to-date net income is $6.1 million, 62% of budget. And for sewer, we're at $9 million or 97%. I did want to make one note on that sewer net income. It's a little bit inflated because we accepted the city's help for making an equipment payment and partial fulfillment of the obligations for the dryer out at the pollution control facility. That was their portion of their ARPA funds. It was about $1.1 million. We recorded that as contributed capital, which is revenue, and I didn't have the foresight to budget for that. So that's in that $9 million number there. But for that contribution from the city, that 97% of budget would be more like 87% of budget, which is still tracking ahead of budget at this point in the fiscal year. But I did want to point that out. Finally, for cash reserves, just jumping straight to our charts here for the water cash reserves, we're at $31.2 million. About $3.5 million ahead of where we thought we might be at this point in the fiscal year. And then for sewer, we're at $31 million, or almost $11 million ahead of where we thought we would be. That's all for me now. We'll have more to say in the budget presentation, where we're presenting not just the budget numbers for FY27, but also for context, the FY26 budget and kind of how we think we'll end the fiscal year there as well.
Any questions for Mr. Sigmund? Thank you. Engineering reports, Mr. Sargent.
Good afternoon. If you remember last month, we approved the bid for on-point excavation on the Chateau sewer main construction. I just wanted to give you an update. We had a pre-construction meeting with the contractor last week. He'd already been out doing some reconnaissance on the site and making sure all the utilities were located, trying to foresee any issues we were going to have on the site. Gave us a really kind of pretty good feeling that he was going to do a good job on this project and try to minimize any surprises we might see in the field. So we've spoken directly to the homeowners that where we're actually going to be, you know, in their backyards and, you know, heavily impacting their properties. Some of the others along the roadway there, we left some door hangers with some information, links to our GIS maps and contact information. So trying to get ahead of everything there. So they're potholing some things on site this week, and then next Monday they're scheduled to get out here and start construction on the sewer line. Our solids handling update, they continue to assemble the dryer along with some of the elevated tubular drag platforms. There's a lot of activity just inside the building with plumbing, HVAC, electrical. There'll be, in the next couple of weeks, we'll actually have some site paving going down. They're spreading and doing some fine grading on the base out there right now. The septic receiving station, the tanks for those were installed, and that equipment's on site, so that'll be getting installed in the next couple of weeks. We've been coordinating with Huber. There's some pieces and parts that are missing. That were a couple of them were fabricated incorrectly. Still waiting on some documentation. So it hasn't yet affected the overall project schedule or the cost, but we are really trying to get on the supplier to get all those pieces and parts to us and get all the documentation so it doesn't become too much of an issue. If you've been out to the site and looked at it from Rainbow Road, it's a substantial green metal building facing Rainbow Road. When the sun kind of hits that in the right angle, you know, being a large dark face, you can kind of see every little irregularity in that sheet metal building. And so we thought that there might be some low cost options to dress that up a little bit. So we requested some options from the architect, who's been working with our contractor, and they came up with some aluminum panels that would kind of stand off the building and just put a little bit of architectural interest on it. I think the contractor might do that at no cost. Just we'll be happy with the way the building looks. So hopefully that'll increase the curb appeal a little bit off of Rainbow Road. Our big project, the improvements, RPCF improvements design status. We had our first regular monthly design meeting, and right now the focus is on that first package of work that's going to start early next year, mainly focused on the equalization basin expansion right now. And so our staff's also been doing some sampling, data collection for odor control and UV transmittance sampling at the filter effluent channel. And so we've also had a preliminary meeting with ADEQ just to talk about some of the timetables in there. And, you know, they quoted us a six-month schedule for design review, which is really going to dictate, you know, when we need to have those drawings completed, you know, backing up from March of 2027, when we'd actually like to start construction. We really need to have those plans turned in by about August of this year. So that's the goal that we're trying to hit, is having that first package with the EQ basin submitted by August. And so we've come up with some pretty clever designs for this EQ basin. This is where all the water going to the EQ would come in, and so this new basin would be where all that excess sewer is introduced, and so it's going to act like kind of like a settling basin. So it's going to see the majority of the solids. Right now, if you visited the plant and you've seen those basins when they're dry, we don't really have a good way to clean them, and so that those solids are deposited on the bottom. They kind of dry up. It does have some odor associated with it. And so when these are put into service, you know, we'd like to have a preferably automated way to keep them flushed out. And so the engineers came up with this design for tipping buckets and channels along the base of this EQ basin. So when that EQ basin is drained out, these tipping buckets would fill up. And just like you see the kids' water park, where they have the big bucket that comes down, it operates in the same manner. It rotates and puts out a large volume of water to basically sweep all the deposited solids off the base, right? keep that clean. So, so we're working ahead with that design. And any questions on that one?
Once it does that, what happens to those solids that it stirs back up?
They'll go back to the headworks.
Okay, so it's just enough to get it.
Right. Just enough water to flush the solids out, and then go back to the lift station and through a screening and grid process.
This also acts as overflow when we get those heavy rain events.
Yes, that's the primary function of the utilization basin. That's the project status. We've got a few of these design contracts we'll be presenting today. I do want to point out that I need to change some of the terminology here. This Arkansas Street Water Line Extension, that's when you see us present the industrial area water line extension east. That was the name in our water master plan for this project. So I'm going to change these names to get them all the same. But that Arkansas Street is the industrial water line extension that we'll be seeing later today. I did add this, the SCADA redeployment project. I really haven't had this on my scope. Engineering's had a little bit of involvement with this, but that is something we've had Garver working on. It's really reviewing the documents, getting ready to go out to bid. On that one, we did receive bids on a small project for a highway bore that will be presented today. That's going to be we'll have a contractor that's doing the bore, and then the water line itself will be installed by RWU Field Operations. And of course, we've moved sanitary sewer improvements, Chateau Drive. Under construction, and the South 12th Street sewer main extension was completed. Development plans. We reviewed a total of 129 sets of plans, and that's trending just about on par with what we've averaged over the past year or so. No major upsets there. And I've got a detailed plans here if you have any questions. That's all I have.
Thank you, Brian. Any questions for Brian? All right. Todd, Mr. Bieber.
Good afternoon. I had a little bit of a disagreement with our technology this month, and I do apologize for not getting my normal packet into your into your hands ahead of time. But I did produce an entire packet, but I only reproduced the DMR summary, as that's the critical part that we do. You can see that the plant's performing well. With no real issues there, nothing approaching our permit limits. Had a fairly wet month, and the collection system performed fairly well. Really, we had a little bit less of an average daily flow with more rainfall, so I think we're moving in a good direction there. The biggest significant thing was I was gone for about 5 days, and so it happened to be the time I was supposed to be submitting. I thought I had submitted it on my phone, but it didn't work out. I'd take any questions if you guys have them. I'd be happy to send you guys any of the normal data that you get if you're interested in it. Really, there wasn't a whole lot that was really significant.
Any questions for Todd? Thank you, sir.
Great. Thank you, guys.
As we have no old business, we'll move to new business, and we will start with the architectural services proposal for field operations facility. Mr. Giovanni.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Just find myself real quick on this computer. All right. As you guys see, the future side of the new proposed facility. Staff had shortlisted 5 architecture firms based on SOQs. Once we had shortlisted them, RWU had formed a selection committee to evaluate and score the 5 firms. After scoring and evaluating the firms, Rogers Water had overwhelmingly picked WER as the winner. So for that reason, staff recommends the approval of the design services agreement with WER Architects, with the total amount not to exceed $1,019,950. Staff further requests authorization to negotiate and approve the final form and content of this agreement.
All right, do we have any questions for Todd?
The contract really is driven primarily based on cost, and it's at a range of 10 to 12.
Correct.
And so this contract is on the low side of the 10.
Correct.
Which the main is the 6.5. So if, in fact, you get down the road and it ends up being more, then does this get adjusted? I'm sure it's all in that language in there, but it was a range of 10 to 12. And I'm not sure where the 10 to 12 came
that
from.
That will adjust. They've outlined as 6.5%
right.
of their cost. So we'll see that adjust for you.
6.5% of the cost of the building, depending on what that actually comes out of. And then there's some other fees in there that are
that's the largest one. My question, though, is obviously we approved it based on the 10, and it has a dollar figure in there. If it comes back in higher than that, I mean, you're kind of hitting at a 10, but you've got a range. Does that require any further action if, for whatever reason, it comes back at it's 11? Obviously, that has to be adjusted. We're putting a dollar amount in there. Does it matter?
Yeah. Right. I think if we're asking the commission to approve an amount not to exceed $1,019,000, obviously, that's substantial. That will come back to commission with a reason why we're exceeding that cost.
And that's it. It was really more, I understand what's happening. But as okay, if we're putting a dollar amount of $1,019,000, if it comes in anything above $10 million, all those numbers have to be adjusted. And so I just want to make sure that you all have the flexibility. If it happens to come back in at $12 million, you'll either just have to bring it back. You couldn't go to the 12 and then up to, because to you the maximum amount would be, if you think it's going to be 10 to 12, is what you put in the contract. That makes sense. you've taken the 10 to 12, but you've taken the lower number. So just it was just more of a question. So if that's okay. Does that make sense?
We'll
just
progress on this.
Just
this is important for us.
Sure.
You'll probably know more than you want.
No, I mean, it's pretty comprehensive, but it just, as I looked at the two numbers, we took the low number, and typically we never get the low number. It always tends to be a little higher, so does it give you the flexibility to continue to do what you need to do without having to jump through a bunch of hoops? So, okay, thank you. That's all the questions I had.
Any other questions? Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the agreement with WER Architects with the total hourly services or lump sum amount not to exceed $1,019,950 and give the staff authorization to negotiate the final form and content of the agreement.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Kathy and a second by Paige. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. None. Congratulations.
Thank you. One other thing on that, I noticed it references site plan. Is there a site plan? I didn't see it attached, and there looks to be a lot of outbuildings. There's a lot going on that site. The site itself shows the highlight, that legal well. The lot has a little piece on the end. I mean, I assume we'll do a legal description, and that becomes separated out. So it's all city owned. So
we're working with the city. We're working with the court.
Okay.
And it's very early in the process, but yes, we're working.
And at some point, it'd be interesting just to circle back around and see the site plan because there's a lot going on in that facility.
Yeah, it should be more of a campus, so everybody needs to know where the egress
entry is. I know it's approved, and this is an afterthought, but that has to be. Does that be? It's city owned, but does it have to go through a rezoning process? Because the city already owns it. Because I got a neighborhood, and the neighborhood right now, I know there have always been trucks moving in and out because it was a city facility. But the rezoning process and the neighbors up there, just kind of wondered if that's the normal, or if the city has the ability to move on.
We had a concept plan that we took through the city's pre-design process just to see if there was any major red flags. Right. They didn't mention a rezoning. You know, they mentioned a couple of design requirements that we would need for the site. But I didn't hear any major concerns from the planning staff.
Are you hearing anything? This is maybe more of a general question, but you know, there's, and I don't think it was on the last bond issue, but there was discussion at one point of trying to push it all the way out further down the Chastain. Are you hearing anything? Because at some point, Oak Street goes across the creek. Any more discussion from the city? Do you hear that?
My understanding is that Oak Street will be one of the priority projects under the next bond project. And so, really, I mean, we've got animal shelter that's going on.
Fire.
We've got the fire training center rebuild. We've also got a parks maintenance facility that's going to be situated right next to our facility. So it's really going to be a city campus that's
okay.
Going to be kind of more of an industrial, heavy commercial type use. And so, one of the ideas is to design this thing and have the designers coordinate to work. It won't feel like a segregated, place. It'll feel like one campus.
I think it's the location is, I think, is perfect because you're more situated, the downtown. You got to get out west. I just knew that. I think on our last bond issue, there was discussion about the Oak Street pushing that on through. I guess it's a sneak peek. I keep hearing that we're going to be looking at another bond issue later in the year, and that Oak Street pushing that all the way through was another east-west corridor. So just one. And it fits in well with what we're doing, so okay. Thank you.
I will work on getting you an update on the rezoning requirements and getting you
if it's a city owned property, does the city have to go through their own process? They should, but that's the rezoning process.
I was hesitant to include a concept plan, so our architect's going to make some really nice looking renderings.
Well, there's a lot of buildings, and when you read the description on that, you know, the again, not knowing how that all lays out, it looks like it's going to be a nice facility, so good job. Thank you. Thank you, Jenny.
All right. Engineering proposal for industrial area wastewater expansion east.
All right. This is another one we're excited for. This project was outlined on our last water distribution master plan as project 5 and project number 9. At build out of the RW water system, a large area to the west of the Rogers Airport is anticipated to be industrial land use. The hydraulic model indicates that this area will require a 12-inch water line to supply sufficient fire flow and capacity to meet the needs of the area. So for those reasons, staff recommends approval of the design services agreement with CEI with the total hourly services amount not to exceed $327,015. Staff further requests authorization to negotiate and approve the final form and content of this agreement. And I'll take any questions on that.
Does that get enough of the pressure? I mean, I think one is for the airport, because the airport continues. There's lots of plans. There's discussion. West side development. There's been early talk about that. Does this get us in the corner up there that we can take care of growth at the airport, but then also anything else that happens up and down the line?
It's certainly going to improve that. We also have another project that you guys will be seeing probably within the next month or two on the west side as well, extending a 12-inch up 2nd Street all the way to almost Little Flock, as well as we're making the improvements at 8th and Hudson.
Okay.
And all of this in conjunction will improve the...
So that the green, that pushes under the railroad and gets us...
It does. We'll
it gets us
back
over
to the airport. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
So we already have approval to go under the railroad?
Well, we see the design. We don't have the approval yet.
We got to go to the railroad and you got to get under 62.
We do have an...
What's just outside of the frame here on the north end is we already have a connection going under the railroad and Highway 62. But we are planning a second connection further to the south there that we would need.
Okay.
Does that connection up the existing connection? Does that push enough water? Are the lines the same?
So
once you get a bigger line up there, is that you said it's a 12 inch? Does it go across?
So this is going to provide enough fire flow for the east side of the airport to really improve the west side of the airport, where the majority of the expansion is going to happen. The airport's going to need to decide to, you know, make a bore into the taxiway and the runway. That's something that I don't know if they made the decision to do that yet. That would be a great benefit to them. As Travis mentioned, you know, up north 2nd Street is another project we have slated that would connect an emergency connection to 2Town and then. Help the west side of the airport.
Brian, does it have
especially when the connection across
the taxi. So is there the east to west, everything you're talking about is going east to west. Is there any way, so can you get on the west side development on the airport? Is there anything up 94 that you push that's already on the west side, or does it have to be a more under the taxiway? Because that's come up, and that's I didn't know if it's something that had to be, if you have to push it from the east to west, or if there's a way to push it up with what you're doing, even up on.
Yeah, if you really want to, I mean, the ultimate goal is to loop this line with everything up, because essentially we have two dead end lines right now. We loop that end of the airport that's basically shortcutting. Otherwise, we'd have to run up around the airport, which would take us into little flocked areas that we can't serve anyway. That's been county number one.
Yeah, there'll need to be some cooperation on the airport.
Well, I know the war thing is, I've heard that, and again, I'm not sure if it was on the airport side or if it's airport city side, but obviously someone's going to have to.
Yeah.
If RW's taking it to here and it gets the connection, because even with some of the hangars that are being built, the fire suppression system, you know, that continues to come up as new hangars are being built and developed. So.
Yeah, the airport really needs to put that out. So this will be the engineering, and then we'll be in.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for Travis or the staff? All right. Seeing none, do we happen to have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the recommendation for CEI total hourly services not to exceed $327,015 staff for the authorization to negotiate the final form and content agreement.
Second.
All right, seeing a motion by Jerry and a second by Kathy. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, the motion passes. All right, you're on the roll.
All right, thank you for taking
Veterans Park Beacon Circle Sewer Easement Acquisition.
So you guys have seen this project come through the civil plans. We're actually nearing 100% completion on these plans, and in preparation of the construction phase, we're going to need to require 6 easements to install the proposed sewer. Special notes on that, a couple of them are in the flood plan. One of the easements that we're going to need to acquire is actually going to benefit the homeowners, make the property a little more viable if we're able to vacate an existing easement. So, a lot of benefits. So, with that being said, engineering staff recommends approval of the easement acquisition service proposal from contract land staff in the amount of $44,144. Staff further requests authorization to negotiate and approve the final form and content of this agreement.
All right, any questions for Travis?
No.
I do have a quick question. You said 44,000, and I'm seeing on this 48,000. Where am I?
I apologize. I as a judge on my sheet here.
Okay.
You're correct. That is 48,144.
Okay. Council, you all right. Do we happen to have a motion? Yes, are there any questions first?
I'll make a motion. Approval of the easement acquisition service proposal from contract land staff. Oh, well, no, we need to change that.
Yeah, it is, and that's the $48,000.
Okay. Contract land staff in the amount of $48,144.
Okay, do we happen to have a second?
And just final form and content to negotiate.
Yes, final form and content.
Yeah. It did well, it gives it to negotiate the contract. I'd second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Good job, Travis.
Thank you. Thank you for catching
it. Yeah.
That was my fault. Easy stuff. So you guys aren't getting ready yet. I wasn't able to make it today. So
three for three.
I'm on a roll here. I don't know if I'm going to fit my head out of the door. All
right,
jump right in. So, as Brian said earlier, this is another attempt to improve the water flow up to the airport by connecting the 12-inch on the west side of 8th Street and connecting over to the west side. That being said, this will be installed by our field crews. They've knocked out a couple great jobs for us. They're more than capable of installing this water line. The only thing we will need is that boring across 8th Street. So, that being said, for the EU, now the law has a head state email. It is right. RBU engineering staff is recommending to accept the bid on signing groundworks for the boring services in the amount of $55,800.
Where at 8th Street does that Cross.
Ethan Hudson.
There's just Don Sculpture's and there's just
it's Don Walmart. It shows Walmart, but
it's actually Walmart on the back part. It crosses right there. Okay. On the other side, I think there's three pieces of Walmart that gets almost in the curve. But I was trying to get that map to print. It just seemed too large. But I'd make a motion to approve the staff recommendation for Simon Groundworks and Board Services. The amount of $55,800, and you all can, I don't know if you need the form or function, you're negotiating the final contract.
A second.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. Good job. Selection of Construction Manager at Risk or RPCF.
So as you're aware, we're under design with our RPCF improvements. This is going to be a construction manager general contractor method of delivery instead of a hard bid. And so basically, this contractor will be hired to conduct pre-construction services during design. That's going to inform us about preliminary cost estimates, any value engineering, constructability reviews, scheduling, things like that. Basically, to support the design team during the design process and give us a kind of a real-time update of what this project is going to cost. When the design is somewhere between 60 and 90%, probably closer to 90% complete, we'll receive a guaranteed maximum price and move forward with construction. And so we have a selection committee consisting of staff from administration, engineering, predominantly BCF staff. And we advertise for qualifications. We received three highly qualified construction companies, and we spent a couple of weeks evaluating those qualifications, and we interviewed all three respondents. The respondents were Crossland Heavy Construction, Flitco, and Garmin. After some deliberation and scoring, it was really close. I mean, we had Crossland Heavy came out on top at score rated 8.6. You know, Flitco was a couple points behind them, Guardian a couple points behind them. So, I mean, basically 4 percentage points. They were all highly qualified. Some of them. Flitco performed well in the interviews. Crossland Heavy was pretty much all around, I think the most well-rounded choice as seen by our selection committee. I could go through, what the committee's opinions were on each one of these, but it is our recommendation of the selection committee to award the contract to Heavy, Crossland Heavy Contractors. And Commission approves that selection today. We'll move forward with contract negotiations and return to seek approval of the negotiation
group. Garmin is, I don't know that I'm familiar with Garmin. Who is that?
So Garmin is a national construction firm. They have a lot of experience with large water and wastewater plant projects. They do a lot of pipeline projects, a lot of water and wastewater plants.
Flitco, and you see those names on a lot of projects.
Yeah.
I didn't spend the time to go back and look at it.
You hit on a good point, and they don't do a whole lot of local projects.
Okay.
And I think that was one of the concerns of the selection committee, because a big part of the CM process is having local vendors, local suppliers, and that was one of the main one of the main concerns that we have with government is that, you know, we may not see as good a value if those local relationships.
Well, you see Crossland and Flintco, those teams are everywhere. And then also, even in their packet, their presentation was, I mean, it's impressive. I mean, they went through and they're experienced. They outlined their teams, who's going to do what. And it was, I mean, I'm sure Flintco was equally impressive. But when you go through and read what they put together, it's like, wow. I mean, it's some serious, it's a big project. But they have a lot of folks that they've already spelled out. Here's going to, you know, here's the team that you're going to be working with. So.
And you had some executive summaries in your package. We received a 50-page statement of qualifications for each one of these guys. They put in a lot of work to do this.
Well, thank you for sharing. I thought that was it was interesting just to go through there. I mean, they spent a lot of time and energy just putting the packet together.
Any other questions for Brian? All right. Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve the awarding the contract to Crossland Heavy Contractors, and the staff will move forward with contract negotiations with Crossland and return to seek approval of the negotiated terms of the CM/GC agreement.
All right, we have a first by Paige. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, with the first and the second, all in favor say
aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Thank you, Brian.
Good luck.
All right, this is resolution number 26-13. It's a resolution designating authorized employees repositories of the Rogers Water Works and Sewer Commission and Rogers Water Utilities. If you look at section one there on this first page, this resolution authorizes and designates the officials who can sign for the withdrawal of RW funds from any of our accounts. And then on the second page here, section three, the authorized officials, any two of whom shall be authorized to jointly sign instruments of withdrawal from our accounts, the following list of names. The only change is due to our change in the commissioner for this board. So swapping out Mr. Carmichael, swapping in Ms. Huffman-Gilry. And that's the only change here. Following your approval of this, I'll work to get some signature cards circulated, and we'll get those signed for Arvest and for First National Bank.
Motion to approve resolution 26-13 as presented.
All right, we have a motion by Jerry. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Jared, and now we're going to do the budget proposal for NY27.
All right, this will be our proposed budget for fiscal year 27, starting on July 1. I invite you to enjoy this bit of color. It's the last you'll see in the presentation that follows. Blue logo there. I'm an accountant. What can I say? I try to make these as black and white as possible.
As long as you're doing it. All colors and numbers except for red ones.
Good call. We'll just start with a slide of highlights here. We do have consumption revenues that are benefiting from previously adopted rate increases that will go into effect July 1. Those are being at least partially offset by a reduced budget for access and impact fees. After a stellar FY25, obviously we've kind of gone in the opposite direction in the current fiscal year, so rather just be pleasantly surprised when revenues come in better than budgeted for impact fees. The capital budget is infrastructure heavy. It always is, but in FY27, this is really being driven by the pollution control facility capacity improvement project. Of course, that project, as we've been alluding to, it will require the issuance of some additional long-term sewer debt. On the personnel side of things, we have included in the budget what we think are responsible employee pay increases for merit pay and for cost of living adjustments. We've also got some strengthened investment in employee training. And at the end of the day, cash reserves for both water and sewer do end the year above our required minimums. So I have a number of slides for the water fund, and then I'll repeat those for the sewer fund, and then we'll finish with a few miscellaneous slides. The table that you see here is representative of the tables that you'll see throughout the presentation, where we've got the FY26 budget, the FY26 estimate, or our best projection about how we think we'll end the current fiscal year, the FY27 budget as proposed, and then the variance columns there, the dollar change, the percent change, is for the 27 budget compared to the 26 budget. So on this slide, of course, we have water revenues, and I've got it divided by operating revenues and other revenues there. And if you look at FY26, the operating revenues are estimated to be lower than budget due to lower water consumption, especially in the summer months, as well as access and impact fees that really never materialized. Our budget estimate for those consumption revenues relies on a four-year historical average, evenly weighted across the last 4 years, and it also, of course, incorporates the rate increases that will be effective on July 1. And those would have increased the budget for operating revenues, but for the impact fees. And in the case of the water fund, it more than offsets the increase from the consumption revenues, so that our operating revenues will decrease by 1 percentage point in FY27 compared to the FY26 budget. And then under the other revenues category there, you see government grants. We've got a grant from the Arkansas Department of Transportation budgeted at $1.35 million. That's related to the Highway 112 waterline project. The contributed capital line falls under other revenues. We've reduced it by $1 million. Interest income in the water fund is holding steady at around $900,000. And altogether, our water revenues are remarkably similar to what they were budgeted in FY26, a total of $27.47 million. Water expenses now on this slide, I've got it presented sort of three different ways. And if you look at the top table, like revenues, you see the division there between operating expenses and other expenses. The biggest line item under operating expenses is the purchase of water from Beaver Water District. That line item is $7.3 million, and that does take into account their rate increases anticipated to be effective in October, a roughly 9% increase on our wholesale purchase of water. Under other expenses, that's mostly related to bond interest, which is decreasing as we continue to pay down our 2012 and 2016 series debt. So the net result there is an increase to our expenses of $1.25 million, about a 7% increase. And then you can look at the second table there to see how that $1.25 million is allocated among the different departments. You can see general expense has the bulk of it at about $1 million increase. That $1 million includes the additional water purchases, about $330,000 extra for water. It includes $350,000 for a water master plan update. And you may recall that we actually did budget that in FY26, but we under-budgeted at $150,000. It's going to take more to get it done, so we pushed it to FY27. And then we've got $320,000 of additional depreciation expense, the bulk of which does fall in that general expense category there. And then if you look at the other departments, engineering, field, office, IT, the dollar change adds up to about $250,000, which is essentially the increase that you see for salaries and benefits there on that bottom table. Salaries increasing by 2.4%, benefits by almost 18%, driven by health insurance that went up by more than expected in 2026. And we've gone ahead and penciled in a 10% increase for 2027 as well. So if you put revenues and expenses together, you get income. And in accrual basis accounting, we recognize revenue when it's earned and expenses when they are incurred. And that's relevant for our capital outlays, especially because those are for assets with a useful life of at least 3 years, up to 50 years for infrastructure. And that just means that we don't recognize all that as expense in the year of the cash outlay. We spread out that expense over the life of the asset. And the effect can be that you've got a positive net income, but you actually reduce your cash position, which is what we see in water this year as budgeted in FY26 as well. So on this slide, we show operating income as the net of operating revenues and expenses. And if you look at the FY26 numbers, the expenses look good. They're coming in under budget. And like we kind of already mentioned, it's really on the revenues side that's also coming in under budget and leading to a lower estimate for our year-end operating income. For FY27, budgeted operating income is positive at $3.8 million, which is in line with how we're expecting to end the current year. And then when all of your revenues and expenses, including the non-operating items, are taken into account, we end up with a change in net position of $8.6 million, which is down from FY26, but ahead of how we're projecting to end FY26. Now with our projection as it stands. So this slide is moving on to water cash, and I should probably just do a little refresher here. We do have two types of cash, restricted and unrestricted cash. Restricted cash obviously is restricted for specific purposes, and in the water fund, that's cash collected for meter deposits, for depreciation, for access and impact fees. And Act 605 of the state statute is relevant here because it requires us to put in a special depreciation account 5% of our gross proceeds that can only be spent on what we call a qualified disbursement. So basically, every time we have a capital outlay, we categorize it either as a repair and replacement type of project or as a additions and improvements type of project. And those outlays that are for repairs and replacements, we can reimburse ourselves from the depreciation account. State says that you, the board, have to authorize the unrestricting of those funds. And our approach to that is when you adopt the budget, you authorize the unrestricting of those funds. And you can see the detail of that in the cash basis budgets where we show both for access fees and impact fees and for these depreciation funds, the transfer into restricted funds, which is the cash that we think we'll collect, as well as the use of those funds. So money coming in, money coming out. So again, the repairs and replacement type of outlay can be reimbursed by depreciation funds. The additions and improvements can be reimbursed by access and impact fees. So when we look at the chart here, again, it's the FY26 budget, the FY26 estimate, and the FY27 budget. So you can see that we were planning to reduce our combined cash position by $2 million in FY26. And if you look at the restricted reserves, that lighter shaded color there, it shows a bigger number. And it's not that staff has unrestricted or used more of our restricted cash than you have authorized us by last year's budget to use, but it's the other side of the equation, that we haven't brought in the access and impact fees primarily that we budgeted, that we expected that we would. So the net result is that it looks like the net change in restricted reserves is a bigger number than that $248,000 that was budgeted there. And then for unrestricted reserves, instead of using unrestricted cash, we're going to end up the other direction, adding about $2 million to unrestricted cash. And then for FY27, you see $15,000 there an increase to unrestricted reserve, or excuse me, restricted reserves. We're basically saying that all of the cash that we collect and restrict, we're then going to turn around and unrestrict or reimburse ourselves for our qualified disbursements. And then if all of our operating assumptions and other capital projects hold, then we would reduce our unrestricted water cash position by about $4 million over the course of the fiscal year. The obvious question then is, well, how does that compare to our required minimums and our projected minimums for next year? And that's what this slide shows you. If you just sort of look at that top table in the far right column there, that's the combined total. So we're projecting to end the current fiscal year at $31 million, which is basically $17.5 million more than our required minimums. And then for FY27, we're projecting that we'll end the year at about $27 million, which is 12.7 more than budgeted. So in both the current year and next fiscal year, we're anticipating that we end the years in a healthy cash position. So that was the water slides. We'll move on to the same set of slides, but for sewer now, starting with sewer revenues. And as we did for the water consumption, for sewer consumption, and the budgets associated with those revenues, it's based on a four-year average. We're incorporating the rate increases that will go into effect in July. They are more substantial rate increases on sewer, and so it's a sort of a bigger increase to the operating revenues here. You can see that reflected in the numbers, almost $2.7 million. And it would be bigger than that, except that we dialed back those access and impact fee revenue estimates by about $1 million. And then other revenues, we've got reduced interest income as we anticipate not reinvesting our maturing CDs. The thought is we're going to need that money to start paying for some of these capital projects. And our contributed capital budget's been reduced by about $500,000. The net result is sewer revenues of about $1.6 million, $27.9 million, an increase of $1.6 million or 6%. Sewer expenses now, again, shown three different ways here with sewer operating and other expenses at the top. If you look at that FY26 estimate, you see it's very close to what we budgeted, so that's nice. In FY27, we see operating expenses are increasing by about $1.2 million. About $400,000 of that roughly is related to salaries and benefits. About $500,000 is related to additional depreciation expense. We are, of course, next year going to be finishing the solids handling project at the pollution control facility. And when that project starts being used, we have to start recognizing depreciation expense on it. So that's increasing our that line item. And then $225,000 of additional expense related to franchise fees that we pay to the city and higher bad debt expense as well. Both of those are a function of our rates and how much we bring in franchise fees to the city and bad debt expense. Under other expenses, we have an increase of $2 million. That's intended to accommodate our bond issue costs as well as interest expense. And in the second table, you can see how that additional expense of $3.3 million is allocated among the different departments, with the bulk of it, $2.5 million, being absorbed by the pollution control facility. And the third table shows the breakout for salaries and benefits. Salaries up 3.2%. That does include one new full-time position, which we'll touch on later. And again, benefits being driven up by higher costs for health insurance. For sewer income, now sewer operating income will get very close to what we budgeted in FY26, right around that $6 million mark. For FY27, budgeted operating income is positive at $7.6 million. That is helped by those higher sewer rates. And then when non-operating items are included, the budgeted change in that position is also about $7.6 million. So here's our sewer change in cash reserves. In the current fiscal year, we budgeted an overall use of about $11 million in cash reserves. We will unrestrict a smaller portion than you authorized us to restrict in FY26. But again, because the collections were not quite what we budgeted, you see a larger negative change in restricted reserves here, going from negative 778 instead, now we're slipping more like $1.5 million. And then for unrestricted reserves, we had planned to spend about $10 million of that, but because we haven't spent on the capital side of things like we thought we might, that's really going to be a negligible difference. We'll reduce that cash position by about $326,000. Now in FY27, we're budgeting a $36 million increase to restricted cash. Essentially, that's sewer bond proceeds reduced by bond issue costs, as well as the cost of the project that we'll either build in as a reimbursement when those bonds are issued, or directly pay for once the bond proceeds have already been finalized. But between the money coming in and the money going out, we're saying that our restricted cash position will increase by about $36 million. And again, just like water, if our operating assumptions hold and if we spend on our other capital projects like we say we're going to, then our unrestricted cash position should decrease by about $3 million. Here are the cash reserves for sewer relative to the required minimums. Looking specifically at that first column, sewer unrestricted, you can see that we're expecting to end FY26 with sewer unrestricted cash of about $24 million, or roughly $15 million more than our required minimum. And then at the end of FY27, sewer unrestricted cash at $21 million, or $11 million more than the required minimum. And at the end of FY27, the combined reserves then, about $59 million, the bulk of which is related to those bond proceeds. All right, this is the slide for our capital projects. The biggest category is our RWU system projects. We have a couple of significant sewer main improvements budgeted for Blossom Way west of Dixieland, as well as the Veterans Park area. And then on the water side, we are accelerating the Western Transmission Main with construction, I believe, expected to start around March. But the largest single project is that second line there, capacity improvement project at the pollution control facility, an estimated $21 million to be spent in FY27. Of course, we'll finish the solids handling project, and you see that reflected there, that $10.8 million. Contributed capital at $5 million is non-cash. So if you look down at the bottom and you see $68 million is our capital budget, that's true, but $5 million of that is not cash out the door. So instead of 68, it's really more like $63 million of cash outlays budgeted for FY27. Meters, we've got it here at $900,000. We started our meter replacement project all the way back in 2016. So now here we are, and we will finish by June 30th of 2026, a decade later. So that's a nice milestone. And it doesn't mean we don't have to spend anything. So we've got $900,000 in here for any new meters, as well as the potential for meters that might start needing to be replaced. Again, this is 10 years, I guess, for the oldest ones. I think we've penciled in a useful life of 15 years on those meters. So we don't really expect that they're all going to start, those oldest ones, I mean, are necessarily all going to start failing on us, but we did want to have some budget there. And then if you look at the last categories, all the equipment, the machinery, the vehicles, that totals about $1.9 million, or 3% of our budgeted capital cash outlay. And in fact, we cut about $1 million of requests for equipment and trucks. Our general philosophy being, we ask you for what we think we really need and not more than that. So it's a combined budget of $68 million, which is very similar to what was budgeted in FY26, even though we won't reach that budgeted number for the current fiscal year. And you don't find this five-year CIP outlook in your budget book, but we do include it in the presentation for the purpose of letting you see what's coming. Again, to be very clear, only the FY27 figures are budgeted. So FY28 through FY31, it's just an outlook for us. Subject to change, I have included here as well a table for our new debt and the approximate dollar amounts and fiscal years in which those would be issued. The rate studies that we completed in 2025 did account for new debt, $30 million of water, $126 million of sewer. You can look at these numbers and see that, well, that's a little bit more than that. And that's true, but there are still some unknowns as far as our capital outlays go. Ryan was talking about the guaranteed maximum price, the GMP for the big PCF project. Knowing that will give us a big data point to help us know better exactly what we'll need and when we'll need it. And there's some other variables in different projects in this CIP schedule as well that could change the timing of when we need our money and how much in terms of those additional that additional long-term debt. Some big numbers on that table. Moving on to debt service, you'll see the first column here is the principal balance at June 30, 2026, as well as our new issues. So you see there $10.7 million for the 2024 series. That's what we expect to continue drawing down from our ANRC pool of funds. That will be the entirety of it at that point. And then we've also penciled in $60 million of additional sewer debt. Principal and interest payments, those are the actual cash payments projected for the upcoming fiscal year, and then our principal balance at June 30, 2027. You'll notice the balances for a couple of those get pretty small, and that's nice to see. So the 2016 series sewer debt, the balance at the end of FY27 will be just under $1.8 million. The last principal payment on that scheduled for FY29. And then for the 2012 series water debt, the last principal payment on that is scheduled for FY30. So those are around the corner. A slide on personnel. I mentioned at the beginning that we are strengthening our investment in employee training. I was actually kind of surprised to go back and look at the budget for FY26. We have 90 employees, and our combined training budget was less than $10,000. We have upped that to $45,000, which is still a tiny percentage of budgeted payroll, but it does represent an increase over what we've done in the past. And we kind of spread that training budget around the different departments and hopefully can be a little bit more intentional about giving our folks, and I'm not saying we don't now, but just from a budgetary perspective, being intentional about making room for that training for our people. We do have one new full-time employee that is requested in the budget. It's a plant operations technician one at PCF to assist with the maintenance of the new dryer, with that position budgeted to start October 1. And then you can see the budget impact of these various items on the right side of your screen. We did ask our consultant to run a market study for us in the current fiscal year on our salaries and pay scales. And I believe HR next month will be presenting a new set of pay scales for your consideration. We've gone ahead for budget purposes and assumed that that will be approved. The market study does not automatically result in pay increases for all the employees, but it does suggest that as those pay scales increase, employees who find themselves below the 85% mark, 85% of midpoint being 100%, if they find themselves below 85%, they could be bumped up to 85%, because typically that's our starting pay, and we try to avoid having the employees who are already here making less than the new person off the street, right? So we've accounted for those market study adjustments effective July 1. And then you see the cost of living adjustment. We have penciled in 3%. That's higher than usual. We also had a higher one effective last January at 2.8%. If you look back at the average, taking out the COVID years as the exception, it averages about 2%. That's what we'd like to see. So 2.8% and 3% is higher than average. As a result, our recommendation is to not do the 1.5% merit pay that we maybe in an ideal scenario implement, but instead dial that back to 0.5%. So this will follow our annual performance evaluations, which are underway now. At the conclusion of that, based on performance evaluations, employees could earn up to 0.5% increase in their pay effective July 1. Of course, the COLA is effective in January, so the budget impact that you see there is a half year. The other half you'll see next fiscal year in FY28. But that's a quick snapshot of our personnel and the budget impacts of the proposed changes. And this is our final slide, a summary of our proposed budget. If you look at both the water and sewer budgets on an accrual basis, our budget to change in that position is positive for both of them, $8.6 million for water, $7.6 million for sewer. And then the cash basis budgets beneath them. One thing I did want to just highlight here is when we were talking about the accrual basis budgets, I mentioned positive operating income for both water and sewer, but if you look on this cash basis budget, you see sewer operating expenses are more than operating revenues, right? And that's due to different factors, but one of the key ones that makes the difference there is we incorporate depreciation expense on the accrual basis, you know, where we're expensing those outlays for our capital projects over time. But obviously, on the cash basis, we're looking at the actual cash outlays for those repair and replacement type of capital projects. And in this case, operating expenses, including those cash outlays, is more than operating revenues on a cash basis. Capital improvements, these are the additions and improvement type of capital outlays that I was talking about. Those are accounted for here. Debt service, bond proceeds, between both the ANRC debt and the new debt, government grants, and then our changes in restricted and unrestricted reserves balance out these cash basis budgets. That about wraps it up. We spent a good bit of time on this, and thanks to the other department heads for helping to make sure that we put a good product in front of you. We feel like the budget proposal does show that for another fiscal year, we're still on solid financial footing. And it is true, we've got some pretty big capital projects coming, but we feel like we've got a plan to address them, to meet them head on, and the adoption of this budget is just the next step.
Thank you very well, President. I really appreciate the way you went in depth, especially with access and impact fees and contributed capital, and having put my initials on some of those pages, I appreciate now knowing how they worked. I do have a couple questions. Are we still participating with educational assistance for staff members?
Yes.
What's the utilization look like for that?
How many do we have in
that
right now?
Couple? I haven't graduated, so I don't know, but it is out there. We also participate with other career tech, go-tech type facilities here in the area, and that's been utilized, especially for several months. So, yeah.
I think it's been continuous to me since we started. Someone's been
good.
Someone's been utilizing this. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
fabulous.
Fabulous.
We always wish they were on.
It's a time commitment on our part. So, training. Do we think we will utilize that $45,000? Is there room for us to increase it more, should it be needed?
This training is more for software, it's for more of our admin folks like me. God knows I need some help on Excel spreadsheets, right? If we can get more efficient with all of the software that we're using now, we feel there's a benefit to that. And that's what this is aimed at. A lot of supervisors on up to learn to use the tools we have better. So it's a lot of people, and that's why it costs that much as well. But the rest of the training, all the licensing, things like that, we still do, always have. It doesn't cost much because a lot of the outfits already, that's subsidized. But this is for more of the admin.
It's a drop in the bucket.
It is.
So I just want to make sure you're not cutting something that could be utilized.
No, that has an ROI. We won't cut that. Just to jump ahead though on the merits and the COLAs, it's a very small number on merit. We'd like more than that. However, a year and a half ago or so, when we made this rate study, when we built this rate study, we used numbers that we thought would accurately. Of course, our crystal ball is about as good as anybody else's. Here we are, we've got three in there. We all, if you listen to it today, you're almost, who knows where it's going to be? 3, 5, 4? Who knows? But we factored in a certain amount. That's our budget. We can't get any more revenue. That's what we get from the cost increases. And of course, you saw access and impact fees. We're hoping we spend everything and we're not going to bring a budget here that doesn't work. But we did have to get tough with this thing because of the incredibly large numbers. Not so much even next year, but the following couple few years. It's going to get tight. And so if we get out of range now, we're out of range and it compounds. We're not going to go back for a rate increase. We did hear from Beaver. They approved one, and I think tomorrow they'll be able to approve one. It's exactly what they said the next 5 years are, so that is what they intend to do, although they only approve it once for 1 year at a time. Moving forward, we see that where it should be. So everything's set. The COLA and that type of stuff has been the only wrench in the spokes, so to speak, at this point in time. But we've battled the numbers on this and battled. It's the best we can do right now. Once we start seeing how we use that capital, historically, you know, we talked about that a lot. Historically, we never spend what we say we're going to spend on capital. But sometimes that's because it's a city job or there's a lot of things outside of our control. Once we start these, they'll go. And they're going to move pretty fast. They're singular jobs. Some of the big, huge money there is our singular jobs. So we're just trying to be very responsible with the funds and see where it leads us, see where it goes. The only thing that's really markedly changed at all, impact fees didn't do what they were supposed to. We don't know if those are going to come back or what. That changed markedly and affected some things. And the COLA is affecting things. I mean, you've got 90 employees. That's, you know, it adds up and we can't get behind right off the ball. You know, maybe at some point we can catch up. I don't know. But right now, it was a really hard decision for Jared and I and everyone else. But it's the best we can do right now. I thought I'd just address that. You know, if we don't spend things, if some stuff doesn't go as planned and something happens and we have more, we'll look at it. We don't even know the GMP, but we can't bring you a budget that we don't feel good about. So that's where we're at.
We've talked about access and impact fees for several months. Is the same thing happening to other communities in our area? Are there access and impact fees, or do you?
I don't know that from my standpoint. So I don't know if it's special or if that's just more of a
broader economic trend.
I haven't heard of it, you know, if you drive around or if you just look around. Our plan review doesn't show it, but the actual plans that actually start do. I don't think we have that metric there, but we'll see the same set of plans come back in a couple of years later. But you don't have a really, you don't have really large projects in the works right now.
The scale of projects, I think, overall have gotten smaller. We're not seeing these, we're seeing a few of them, we're seeing several large projects, but I mean, the majority of the projects that we're getting in are developing, you know, 5 or 10 acres, not 40 acres. You know, every once in a while we get a 200 or 300 unit apartment, but a lot of the stuff we get in is like, you know, 8 or 10 townhomes. And so, of course, the impact is going
to be. I'm still, Kathy, I don't know if you finished that question, but I know it's one we have talked about. But I'm still kind of struggling with the, so there's a process. We went through a process. And we budgeted this year for, we there's a list of projects, and we anticipated what projects, I'm assuming we have a list, the timing of those, and as we've talked throughout the course of the year, was that it was not, it wasn't going to happen. It was just deferred. It was kind of pushing it forward, okay. So the budget shortfall this year, those to me, if we have a process in place, it's not just a matter of we didn't collect it this year. It's not going to go away. It's just going to be pushed forward. Okay. But when you look at the overall budget, we're really not factoring that in there because you're back to 242. So that's one, and I still kind of struggle. I'm assuming you did the same process again this year. Okay. So I'm still looking at that. So you should have been just deferred, but you came back at 242.7 is the difference. Okay. Should still happen. You went through the same process. You look at what's on the list today, what you think you'll anticipate. These would be new projects. The 26 numbers should just be pushed forward. That's a thought. That may not work like that. That's one. And then my biggest question is the we adjusted the minimum reserve calculations. Okay, and we drew comfort and the fact that we had heavy reserves. Okay, reserves are when the numbers don't hit like they're supposed to. So my question for basically the two of you is, are you still comfortable with the adjustments we made in the minimum reserve requirements? Okay, and given the fact that on the water side has to be more concerned, sewer looks at the numbers. But when you start drawing down at $4.1 million, are we, and we still show a healthy reserve? Doesn't take long if $4 million to hit. You know, that's two and a half years really of what we had the excess reserve. So, bigger question is just making sure we made an adjustment in those reserve minimum reserve requirements. Okay, we look real healthy, but you draw $4 million out of that. That's a big chunk. So I just want to make sure we look at that as we look at the 2026 numbers that did not happen. Okay, are we still, and we do, we show healthy reserves, but again, when you draw that down, the 4.1 million, it doesn't take long. So just keep that in mind as we go forward. So that's more maybe an editorial, but it is a question though, is are you still very, are we comfortable now knowing that we made those adjustments because we thought we had. We kind of needed that to happen. So, and then the last thing, you know, the that restricted, unrestricted, back and forth, the fact that contributed capital, $2.5 million of our revenue is contributed capital, which means nothing. It's a non-cash. And you take the non-cash, we're $2.5 million, is I think through April this year. If it ends up, and then those numbers you just showed, $2 million on water, $3 million on water, $2 million. It's those are non, it's a non-cash, and that depreciation restricted. That gets real confusing. And then you take on top of that, you basically in both water and sewer, those numbers have doubled. You're taking out more than, so it just, those get a little confusing to me. And at the end of the day, we should make sure we stay healthy financially. It looks like the reserves are still adequate, but we just missed 2026 in some pretty big numbers.
Well, I'll just tell you this. Where we looked at this too, you're seeing 27, but
yes.
28, 29, that's where it starts to get really tight.
Huge.
It gets very tight. But that's by plan. You know, we didn't need to raise rates more than what we needed. As Jared said earlier, we need what we need to complete these plans. And we won't bring you anything that doesn't work. This works. I'm very confident in it. It's probably, it could be conservative, but, you know, the question we kept saying, what if, you know, historically we've done this, but it'd be a little tough to come up here and tell you we need more reserves than we have. You know, we can't do that. That's not.
But you're so comfortable with it because we made the adjustments in the calculations. Absolutely. And you
felt
as you push them out again, and you're right, it's the 26, maybe a little bit of the wake up on the 26 because the numbers didn't hit just exactly on the water and more water. Sewer numbers continue to track. It's just looking forward at the rate increases and that we've got the adequate reserves.
And that reserve is more based on what we have to have once we borrow.
It's based on operating expenses, which, you know, are projected to increase. So that required minimum is increasing over time. You know, you project that it will increase. You also allow for dipping into those reserves. I mean, they are there for the purpose of being used at some point if and when needed. You don't want to bottom out, obviously, right? But the funds are there to be used when you need them, and the way that we word that when we have you adopt those each year is that if and when it looks like we're going to dip below that required minimum, you're advised of it and that we've got a plan for getting back above that level. So it's designed to be a temporary use of those cash reserves. When you dip below that required minimum, you're there for a little while, right? However long you need, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel before you start to come back up again.
I want to make sure, seeing that we had, I'm glad you guys did a market study on salary adjustments needing to be done. I want to make sure that merit doesn't put us behind. Having been here in 2008 when we did when we went through the last recession, I don't want us to lose employees as well and get further behind. So let's just keep an eye on that. As well, and if we need to come back mid-year and we look at the merits, let's do it.
Thank you. We agree. We don't know what we're getting into right now, the overall economic macro. We just don't know. So we're tightening up. You didn't see the only people we really needed. We needed someone for another shift out there. We got to have that. But everything else, we're tightening. We're being conservative. We're going to get some of those GMP numbers. Those are major numbers. You know, we need to see where this thing ends up.
Yes.
And then we'll have, as Jared said, the data points to move forward. But we can't get off on the wrong foot, to your point. So, you know, we appreciate the same thought process.
And it just can be revised, so if it needs to come back.
That's just what I was about to say. If it turns out that I was, if I went the opposite direction and now we're too conservative on access and impact fees after what we experienced this fiscal year, then, you know, if they come in stronger than expected, we can have a mid-year budget amendment that shows, hey, we should have put revenues at this higher amount, and that will be our new benchmark going forward. We had an official budget amendment for the cost of living adjustment this year. I don't know if we had another one at some point earlier in the year, but we've got precedent for that. We can certainly come back and revise as needed.
Any other questions for Jared or Brent staff, anybody? Do we have a motion to accept the budget as presented, FY27 budget?
I'll make a motion. Second.
Okay, having a motion and a second, we will take a vote on accepting the budget as presented. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Thank you guys so much for all the hard
work. Good work.
Counselor. Move on to resolution number 2614.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This resolution will allow the utility and the commission to file eminent domain proceedings for the Western Corridor Transmission Line Project. It'll designate Brent as the organizational representative and give him the authority to approve the proceeding and all the various documents that will be filed in connection with those. Be glad to answer any questions.
No questions? All right. We have a motion.
I make a motion to approve Resolution 26-14. Resolution appointing a judicial representative in the domain proceedings to the Western Corridor Transmission Line as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? No, motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir. Do we have any comments from any commissioners before we adjourn?
Well done, new chairman.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for all the hard work. This is a hard one here. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, yeah. Excellent work.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, we are adjourned.
Thank you.